Wait. Morie Zimbabwe, hola, hola, Zimbabwe. Moshe, if you're tuning in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America, on Tuesday, 1 June 2021. Morie Zimbabwe, mtwagazo Moshe, I'm your host, Mike Ole. Once again, Muria Zimbabwe, if you're tuning in right now, welcome wherever you're in the world. You're tuned in to The Connection. We're coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C. on June 1, 2021. Tonight on The Connection, Muria Zimbabwe, we speak to youth in Kwekwe as we continue focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic. Once again, we speak to youth in Kwekwe about the COVID-19 lockdown in the city. Now, following the detection of the Indian variant in Kwekwe is now approached week 2 of the COVID-19 lockdown. Now, tonight, we're also going to be spotlighting the works of young Zimbabweans who are doing amazing work in their different communities. That's our tonight's discussion. But now, as we wrap up, we have something special for you tonight. We're going to be joined by recording artist Pablo Cartel, who recently released his new single titled Nifuna Wena. Join us, Muria Zimbabwe. If you're looking to join us, you can call us live on air, and the studio number is +1 202 619 2077. For those that are streaming this conversation live on Facebook, kindly share the program with your networks. Also remember to press the like button. You are with us. Also feel free to write the comments in the comments section. We're going to be reading them live on air. Now, without wasting time, Muria Zimbabwe, let us delve into it. Tonight's discussion, first up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has 38,961 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 36,591 recoveries, and 1,596 deaths. Last night alone, 1,638 PCR tests were conducted, 17 new cases were detected, 3 recoveries, and 2 deaths. Of those 2 deaths, one is in Bulawayo and one is in Manicaland. The country currently has 771 active COVID-19 cases. To date, 675,678 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. 344,400 have taken both the first and the second jab, which means both are vaccinated. Now, whilst on the discussion of the vaccine, the Zimbabwean government has recently released more COVID-19 updates on their digital pages, that being on Twitter and on Facebook. They also have been running these updates on both radio and television. Let us take a look at the most recent clip that they have prepared, whereby they explain more about what it means to achieve herd immunity. The next clip you're about to watch is courtesy of the Ministry of Health and Childcare's Facebook page.
What is herd immunity? Picture a community or herd of healthy people. During an outbreak of infectious disease, vaccinated members are immune and will remain healthy. The higher the number of immune people in that community, the lesser the disease can spread. This essentially breaks the cycle of transmission. When enough people in the community are immune, the rest are protected by proxy, establishing herd immunity or herd protection. We know that COVID-19 spreads through close contact, making crowded areas potentially deadly. But when some members of the crowd have immunity, that changes. COVID-19 vaccines train our immune systems to resist the COVID-19 virus and reduce the chances of its spreading. As more people gain immunity by vaccination, the number of infected people diminishes. The Ministry of Health and Childcare Zimbabwe is aiming to achieve herd immunity by vaccinating 60% of the population. COVID-19 vaccinations are being rolled out in phases, starting with high-risk groups until all eligible people are vaccinated and protected. Using the ZimCovid Safe app, you can locate COVID-19 testing and vaccination centers across Zimbabwe. This app will allow you to access their contact details, working hours, and addresses. The ZimCovid Safe app is one of the official COVID-19 news and updates app for Zimbabwe, and it's free and secure. Download it today on Google Play or App Store. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Childcare Zimbabwe, with the generous support from Chicken Inn, Revive, and Baker's Inn.
Well, Amuria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from the Ministry of Health and Childcare. But now the COVID-19 vaccine in Zimbabwe has slowly started being embraced with people, with cities such as Victoria Falls now achieving herd immunity. In fact, as we speak, there's a number of people who have reported that they are having difficulties accessing their first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, not a result of them not wanting to, but they're also being turned away from hospitals on grounds that they do not have enough vaccines for the first jabbers. Let us take a look at a clip that we have of Dr. Mudzengerere, who spoke to one of our correspondents in Mashonaland West today.
Saka Zimbabwe ine ma vaccine 3, Sinopharm, Sinopharm, Nico vaccine. Zvakaitika ndezvekuti vanhu vaibaiwa vakasiyana siyana, ma first dose ne ma second dose. Semenzaniso, munhu anobaiwa first dose muno muchinoi. Panozosvika kuti abaiwe second dose anenge akuharare, obaiwa kuharare. Saizvozvo zvakacreate a shortage because munhu aibayiwa kwaanga asina kuwana first dose yake. Sazvairewa kuti makliniki kwaakabayiwa first dose uko akubayiwa second dose vanoshoterwa nemushonga. Saka tikuona kuti pamushonga yeCovaxine neSinovac tikushoterwa nesecond dose. Ndosaka takamira kubaya vanhu first dose yeCovaxine neSinovac. Asi, news that tinazo ndezvekuti Sinopharm tanayo tirikupa ma clinics edu kuti vaya vanobaiwa first dose iripo Sinopharm vanokwanisa kuenda ma clinic nepachipatara pedu vobaiwa first dose yavo iri Sinopharm sezvo tine yakawanda haisi kusota sedzimwe two dzandataura idzi.
Well, Amuria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Dr. Mudzengerere, who was speaking on the shortage. So as you heard him there, it looks like there's a shortage of vaccines in Zimbabwe, regardless of whether people or not want to take the vaccines. But now, there are also still some people who are very hesitant to take the vaccine. The story of the vaccine hesitancy is not unique to Zimbabwe. It is being experienced across the whole globe. Let us look at an explainer recently done by VOA on vaccine hesitancy and herd immunity.
When polling firm Gallup asked Czechs whether they would get vaccinated against COVID-19, 53% said no. In Senegal, 55% said no. And in Jordan, 62%. In most of the countries Gallup surveyed, the proportion of people who said they would be vaccinated was below 70%. That's the lowest percentage of the population that scientists think needs to have immunity in order to stop the virus from spreading. It's a state called herd immunity, where the virus has a hard time finding new people to infect. Vaccination is the safest way to get there. Where vaccine hesitancy is highest, it may be about more than just the COVID-19 vaccine itself.
I think the number one thing we have seen from our work is essentially trust in government. That seems to be a strong predictor with regards to intention to get a vaccine.
Take countries such as Ukraine, Gabon, and Lebanon. In a 2018 Wellcome survey, most people there said they did not trust their government. Those countries also have majorities who said they will not take the COVID-19 vaccine. In all, Gallup found 20 countries where more than half the population said they won't take the vaccine. 10 of them are in Eastern Europe. That partly reflects people's attitudes there towards vaccines in general. In that 2018 Wellcome survey, only half of Eastern Europeans considered vaccines safe. That's the lowest rate in the world. These high rates of hesitancy are a warning for health officials, but they do change. When Gallup polled Americans last September, 50% said they would not get vaccinated, but that number fell to 26% by March.
It's a small proportion of the population here in the United States that is fundamentally and philosophically opposed to vaccines. It's a very small proportion. We then have a good chunk of the population that's pro-vax, but the majority of people in the United States are what we would call this movable middle, i.e. they're ambivalent, and they just need a nudge in the right direction.
One of the biggest nudges is seeing other people get vaccinated. Take this Kaiser Family Foundation poll. In December, when COVID-19 vaccines first arrived, more people said they would wait and see than those who said they would get the shot as soon as possible. From December to April, as more people got vaccinated, the wait and see group shrank from 39% to 15%. But getting hardcore skeptics on board is not easy. It has to be done on a local level, Lemayeh said. Sometimes person to person.
It has to be from individuals that people trust. This has to be community-based leaders, for example. Religious leaders are a key part of this solution. Other community influencers at the community level are really, really important here. It is a lot of hard work. It's not something that's going to be done very quickly and very easily.
All right, well, Muria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there, they're explaining more about what it means to achieve herd immunity, something very relevant towards Zimbabwe's discussion right now. But now, early on, I mentioned that tonight we're going to be focusing on Kwekwe as a city. So joining us live via telephone from Kwekwe is Admo Sibanda, a resident of Kwekwe, who's going to break down and explain more to us about what is happening in the city. Admo, welcome to the program. How are you doing, bud?
I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Let's delve into it, Mr. Sibanda. We'll start off with how things are looking in Kwekwe. The city has now reached week two under lockdown. What are things looking like there?
Yeah, we are on week two lockdown. As you know, lockdowns are not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of difficult when you're on lockdown. We've just been coming from a total lockdown that started in January,
mm-hmm.
and business was low, and people were surviving very hard. So now things are starting to pick up, but now we're on another lockdown, so things are not that well. Things are difficult because it's bad.
And how are residents processing this lockdown? Last week, we spoke to some people who were saying people seem to understand that there's a lockdown in Kwekwe. Some say they understand that there's a lockdown in Kwekwe, but they're still seeing people not respecting lockdown regulations. How are people respecting the lockdown now that the city itself has reached, I guess, the second week under lockdown?
This lockdown, when it came,
mm-hmm.
at first there was news that was circulating on the social media. Then the government dismissed it as fake news. So when the official communication came from the ministry, there was already some confusion on the market about what's the proper position.
So people got
confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
But now the other thing that is there is that this lockdown is kind of different from the other lockdowns in that business is operating from 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a curfew that starts around 7 and ends the next day in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, people come into town, but that's because there's that thing in the mind that there is a lockdown. Activities just law and the environment religion.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little more about your profession, Mr. Sibanda. You are part of the informal sector in Zimbabwe, so I'm a little more curious about that. During the first lockdown, your group was one of the most affected people from a financial standpoint. Now Kwekwe is under another lockdown. How are people who are part of the informal sector surviving in the city right now?
Yeah, it's kind of... very difficult in the sense that the informal sector survives on the flow of people because when people move in numbers, at least you've got chances of getting volumes of cells. Mm-hmm. But when the movement is restricted, then it means that your cells they are just reduced drastically because mm-hmm. we rely on the movement of people. So now with this lockdown, there is that the people in Kwekwe are locked down. Then people from outside Kwekwe, they are not like at liberty to be coming into Kwekwe because they were cautioned not to take to stay for a long time in Kwekwe. Mm-hmm. So that inflow of people into Kwekwe is reduced. So mm-hmm. it affects the business is very high.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little more about the, your workflow. We know when things slowly or slightly opened up in Zimbabwe, one of the things that was, placed upon the informal sector is that you have to take all necessary precautions to ensure that, you know, your area or where you work is COVID-free. That means you have to have a mask, you have to have water for people to wash their hands and so much more. These are things that some people are saying is costly. So I'm a little curious about you, yourself, in your personal capacity. How are you functioning under these times?
Okay. The thing that's happening, sanitizers, yes, people have got sanitizers. Maybe we didn't know how genuine the sanitizers are, but at least sanitizing people is happening. Then people have got thermometers. At least in that sense, those are the precautions that are there. And people, yes, they have their masks. Majority of the people, they wear their masks.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of that operation, yes, sanitizers are there. And the thermometers, maybe in some areas, they are there. And the mask people, yes, do wear their masks.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little more about enforcement of these lockdown regulations. Last week, we had another young gentleman who's also in Kweko who he was saying in week one, he's yet to see, for example, lockdown regulations being heavily enforced by the police like it did in the first previous lockdowns. Now, here comes week two. You yourself mentioned that a lot of members of the informal sectors are still working within the working periods. How are you guys, what's the relationship looking like between you guys and law enforcement right now?
Yeah, currently the relationship that is there is that we have the law enforcement agencies moving around at times.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this time they will be moving that very much. But now the challenge that is there is when they move around. They may check people, but they end up asking for bribes. Maybe should I say
mm-hmm.
that's the most common feature that we see. We see people being taken, but at times they never reach the station. They come back, but the movement at times they just move and they stop and they move again. It's just erratic.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Sibanda, once again, and I like to refer to conversations that I've had with other people so I can also hear your experiences. In other cities, I've spoken to young people who are part of the informal sector about their experiences with other people, especially working under a time whereby there's COVID-19 in the country. And they were saying they've had experiences where people approach their stalls and they refuse to abide by these lockdown regulations about gogama mask, about gezi zandla, and all that. In your circumstances, have you experienced such? And if you have, what is the best way to deal with such people? Ngoba kulabantu abacabanga ukuthi money first, so I try to deal with this person noma kanjani.
Yeah, maybe ngathi mina indaba yama mask. This thing about mask. There are some people who are just like that. Aba sabone, they don't sanitize, and abanye even noma kuma points at the door where you put people which never sanitize. They are local, they are rude. They just feel that they want to be safe. But mm-hmm. I think what can help is if the law is enforced properly. At mm-hmm. least, umuntu abekwazi ukuthi if I'm arrested, I'll get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
People might follow AMA rules. But if someone knows that I'm taken but very unserious patient, I would just bat my way out and come back. Definitely people will not take these things, some of these things serious. So now I think Tamalo Investment Agency should be strict on these things, especially when it's in danger in the Abantu. Who are the chances of having these things, which means can fight his way out, yet at the same time endangering the whole population or the whole place.
So it's Kanyelage, you know, the discussion around funds. As you mentioned yourself, you're not working at normal full capacity, not just because of the lockdown, but even after the past lockdown, people are not as, you know, excited. And so I'm a little curious about that from a financial standpoint. Are you guys making enough money to get by?
No, we're not making enough money to get out. Because the challenge the corner with this lockdown is that when you are renting a place, the rentals are still the same even during lockdown. The bills in Avenue Council, they are still the same. It's Vesa is still the same. So your bills are still the same, but yet business is very low. So coping up in this time is very difficult. You end up even getting credit to maintain your place at the corner because you want to be there, but business-wise, you are already down.
Who can also go and do a government now to help you guys? Abagum sebenzi wezandla abaziphandela.
No, uhulumende sake sabala emaphepheni, maphephandaba. Kuthiwa kulezi mali ezikhona ezama-SMEs lizabhaliswa. Abanye abantu babhalisa, but thina we never got that chance because it wasn't clear ukuthi kuhamba njani. And ayifuna ababhalisayo bangikhona, I don't think up to date kulo muntu owake wathola something. Even lezi abanye bebhalise, I understand even the money was too little. If ever people were given it, it was too little to cover even ama expenses, I think. That's too little. But I think ama SMEs, ama name, I will have to work on a lay man. Papa Mizala, Emma Mistresen, in the Ryan Conota Stananda.
So, Mr. Sibanda, as Tintenu Tabalolung or Limluga Mama and Amafishan over, we have an entire and developed audience. How are you guys surviving phansi kohlelo lwe-lockdown? So bengicela ukuthi ubachazisele ukuthi kahle kahle liphila kanjani phansi kohlelo lwe-lockdown njengoba selifikile selingenile ku-week 2.
Thina ngathesi ekhwekhwe ngathi kulobunzima obuthize ngoba i-lockdown ikhona njengokukhulunywa okwenziwayo. Abantu bayangena edolobheni ngoba kwavunyelwa ukuthi abantu bengene 8 to 5. Kodwa ngendaba yokuthi i-Indian variant le abakhuluma ngayo iyesabisa, abantu babona imfanekiso elizwe lase-India. So ukuthi abantu bengene nje edolobheni, hhayi abanye abantu besaba sibili. So i-movement ikhona but
Indaba yemali-ke liyithola njani njengoba uyasho ukuthi abekho abantu abaningi abangena edolobheni?
Endabeni yemali lapha ayiphi i-business liphansi. Into leyo ngathi maybe ngichase ngithi kube kabili kumbe kube kathathu into leyo. Yaqala thina saba le-lockdown eyayi-total lockdown yaqasa umnyaka uqalisa ngoJanuwari. Yasichova then sithe siphakathi kwe-lockdown leyana ingakapheli kwaba le ndaba yokuvulwa kwezikolo. Izikolo sezivuliwe zathatha imali ebantwini ngoba thina angathi ama-customers ethu ngabantu abantu bona laba abaphilayo elizweni leli. So bathathela imali ngabasikusiza ama-yunifomu into eziningi ezazifunakala ukuthi abantu ngabebuye besikolo. Then siphakathi lapho abantu bengakarikhazi njalo kwase kubuya manje leyi lockdown esihlangane ngayo layo leyo sa vele ngathi kuphuma ebunzimeni ingena bunye ebunzimeni. So ngathi siphakathi kwebunzima. So i-disposable income leyana imali yokuthi umuntu akwanisa ukuyisebenzisa hayi abantu bale mali endifani kanye business ule liphaya.
Right, so sesifika emaphethelweni of our conversation, Mr. Sibanda. If you had any words to give the government in terms of assisting you guys, njengabantu abakumsebenzi wezandla, what would those words be?
Mina bengingafisa ukuthi uhulumende anedise informal sector. Well, which may be city by city or province by province, it could be transparent. I want to be going to apply Lama funds. They were told, the process is transparent. In the Labuti, Umuntu, you support the Pivans and other ways of politics, Umuntu, Unesi Maranjan, the society. But the government abantu over abantu won't give up parity, one Lama business, or the employment agula abantu.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mr. Edmo Sibanda, for taking time out to join us on our program tonight. We really appreciate your input, and once again, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we wish you the best in Kwekwe.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Admo Sibanda. He's, of course, a part of the informal sector. He's a resident of Kwekwe. He was breaking down how they're surviving in Kwekwe. Now, at Studio 7, we reached out to medical expert Dr. Tinotendas Memeza to give us his input on the vaccination program in Zimbabwe and, of course, most importantly, the detection of the Indian variant in Kwekwe. Let us hear what Dr. Memeza had to say.
Izvi zvinhu zvatatambira zvikuru zvekuti besa kuti population yedu ikwanise kuvaccinatewa, tikwanise kuprotectana from this coronavirus, and so that we limit its my infections ari munharaunda dzatinogara kuitira kuti aite mashoma, uyezve kuti tisakwanikwe tichiwana the worst of the disease kana kuti chirwere chisazoti affecta maningi kana uchinge wachiwana. Saka izvi zvinhu zvatiri kukurudzira, enge tinokurudzira mhuri yeZimbabwe kuti irambe yakadaro ikutora Dubai. Zvisinei kuti ivariant ipi yekuIndia, yekuSouth Africa, yekuUK, mashoko ndiwawo ekuti tinofana kuramba takashinga, tichipfeka mamask edu, tichisanitiza, tichigeza maoko edu, tichimaintain a social distancing as long as chirwere ichi tichinacho sezvazviri. Tinofanira kuramba takadaro, tichitevedzera maguidelines ari kutaurwa neMinistry of Health kuti tizvidzivirire kuti tisakwanise kuwana coronavirus. Saka panhau yevariant iri kubva kuIndia, hatisati tanatsoistudha kuti tinatsoziva kuti is it more dangerous than my variants atange tichiexperiensa, because there are certain conditions ari kuIndia anokwanisa kunge ari kucontributa mukuafektwa kuri kuitwa vanhu nechirwere checoronavirus. Akadarikira kuti kune population yakati wandei, uyezve nyaya dzepollution, nyaya dzekushayikwa kweoxygen, inyaya dzakawanda wanda. Saka hatisi kunatsoziva isusu pari zvino whether iri nyaya yevariant here kana kuti inyaya yemaconditions ari kuIndia.
Well, alzuluka ndaba liyamuzwa uDr. Tinotendas Memeza uyachasisa ngempela umbono wakhe njengengcwethi kwezempila kahle esithi hayi lokho kwenzakalayo eIndia uyasho ngempela uyakhuthaza uZulu ukuthi qhubekani phambili lihlonipha imithetho ekhona ejonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka kweCOVID-19. So qhubekalani phambili ligeza izandla, uyasho ngempela ukuthi social distancing something very very important, uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi it doesn't matter ukuthi i-variant le ya kwele India isifikile kwele Zimbabwe, uyasho ngempela ukuthi if people continue abiding by these lockdown regulations, if people continue abiding by these regulations ezikhona elizweni ezijonge ukumemetheka ukuvikela ukumemetheka kwe-COVID-19, hayi abantu will be safe and sound. Uyasho ngempela uthinte njalo udaba esithi people should not worry about the Indian variant because they're still trying to figure it out as Zimbabwe. They're not sure as to whether or not this variant will be as deadly as it is in India. A lot of contributions could have added to this country. For example, in India, the population, naturally, there's a lot more people, and so people react differently. But now, let's head over to my second guest joining me live via telephone from Harare. He is the executive director of VSET, Mr. Samuel Wadzai. Mr. Wadzai, welcome to the program, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. Thank you for having me.
Toto Tendaimi, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us. So COVID-19, that's the discussion that we're looking to focus on. I know as we said, you guys had a lot of programs where you are not just helping your members, but communities around you with regards to COVID-19. So let's start off there. Could you kindly walk us through some of these programs that you guys have as we said?
Thank you so much, my brother. I must accept that this is a very important discussion. So as we said, we took it upon ourselves to initiate a response plan to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after the initial lockdown was promulgated by the government, we launched what we call the COVID-19 Informal Sector Response Initiative. So this initiative encompassed a lot of activities, a lot of interventions that are very aimed at ensuring that our members are able to cope with the effects of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So we targeted the market, we targeted the various spaces that our members were operating from.
Mm-hmm.
And firstly, what we did was ensure that our members have got sufficient information about what really COVID is about. What does it entail? How does one contract the virus, and how does one spread the virus?
Mm-hmm.
So we did these awareness raising campaigns in all the major towns and cities,
mm-hmm.
Including Harare, Bulawayo, working in collaboration with our colleagues there, BVTA,
mm-hmm.
Mutare, Mashingo, Gweru, and other towns, including even Gold Point.
Mm-hmm.
So the aim here was to ensure that our members appreciate the dangers that COVID really was posing at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of misinformation around how the disease was spreading. So we did those awareness campaigns and ensured that our members are able to appreciate the threat that it was causing, not only at an individual personal level, but even in terms of doing business as informal traders.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we also ensured that we assisted our members who were privileged enough to continue to operate. I think, as you may be aware, my brother, when the initial lockdown was promulgated by the government, not everyone was blocked from working. There were other traders who were, privileged enough to continue to operate. So we visited those spaces and ensured that we distribute the small PPEs that mm-hmm. we have,
mm-hmm.
The health techs that we had, including sanitizers, face masks, and at some point I think we were also distributing even gloves
mm-hmm.
And soap. So we did this in Harare, in Masingo, Peru, Bedbridge, and Bulawayo. We thought that it was important for us to just do that, though it was small, but it was a demonstration of our willingness to assist our members.
Mm-hmm.
Then lastly, we continued to engage with the government
mm-hmm.
to ensure that they should be coming in to the market and supporting formal traders
mm-hmm.
who are operating, because we witnessed a lot of there was no concrete plan from local authorities and government to support informal traders during the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at the forefront of pushing the government to ensure that informal traders get the support that they deserve. Look,
mm-hmm.
we were getting a lot of food donations and, being paraded during the, news at ZBC and the Herald and other state media, that the country was getting a lot of donations, whether it was PPEs or other essential health techs, but we did not see the same being channeled to informal traders, and we're pushing and pushing and pushing as an organization to say, let's get these items to traders because they are essential services providers. Mm-hmm. The informal sector is playing over 90% of the population, so we need to support them during this difficult time. So these are some of the initiatives that we conducted during lockdown and through the informal sector comprehensive response plan that we initiated.
Now, I want to delve deeper into the engaged government part that you just mentioned. Even a post-lockdown, of course, Kwekwe is still under lockdown, which is what I want to delve into later with you. But post-lockdown, I've spoken to several different informal traders and other organizations that represent members of the informal sector, such as BVTA. And one thing they highlighted is people are still struggling post-lockdown, even though the country's reopened. A lot of people suffered over the past year and a half, if not year more. Has government continued to engage? I know at some stage and point there's some people who received funds since then. What does it look like?
No, let me state it from the onset, my brother. I think the government should do more. COVID did not only affect Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. Every country was affected by Zimbabwe. But if we do a comparison of how the government responded to this pandemic in terms of assisting the informal economy, you realize that our government is lagging in terms of supporting the informal economy. Mm-hmm. We don't know why, because there have been a lot of promises. You are saying you visited Bulawayo and Gwanda and other places. And the situation is the same, I can confirm to you, even in Harare. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of promises that were put forward by the government to say that they were going to support the informal economy during this difficult time. Mm-hmm. We were made to go to our members to revamp our databases so that in anticipation that the government was going to give some cushioning funds to informal traders who could not go to the market and operate and make money and survive. But this did not materialize. If there is anyone who got that money, it's a very, very small portion of the population of the informal economy. Mm-hmm. So what we are saying is, we said, well, we're a national organization. What we are saying is that the government should do more. Mm-hmm. There should be deliberate interventions by the government because other countries have managed to do that. Mm-hmm. South Africa, for example, informal traders are getting grants, to survive during mm-hmm. lockdown. In Namibia, for example, we have what a visit Namibia chapter. Mm-hmm. We know what was happening in Namibia. Our members were really happy with the interventions that the government in that country put forward. Mm-hmm. Zambia, the same thing. But here, there are all promises. Mm-hmm. Very, rosy, the very, nice-looking promises on paper. But when it comes to implementation, then it's problematic. But it's something that should be dealt with quickly because, mm-hmm. Like I indicated, my brother, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe is highly, highly informalized. Mm-hmm. We are second in the world. We are second only to Bolivia in terms of informality. Mm-hmm. But we are last in terms of supporting the informal economy. There is a misnomer there. We need to correct that.
So I am a little curious, Mr. Wadzai. We've also spoken to some, government officials who have said they are urging anyone that is struggling to approach the relevant ministries, for example, the Ministry of Social Welfare, and then there's also the Ministry of Youth, that are saying if people approach them, they're more than willing to help in different manners, different programs that are set up. Is this something that you're educating your people on, or are there people that have tried? What's going on there?
Look, my brother, I think we need to just be open to each other. As we said, we believe that by engaging with the authorities, mm-hmm. we will be better placed to find solutions quickly on issues that affect our members. I can assure you, we are an organization that believes in constructive engagement. And we've done that since inception. We are over 10 years old now as an organization, and we believe in that. This idea of flying, you know, I don't think it will take us anywhere. It's a common knowledge that the government, when they promulgated or when they pronounced the cushioning fund, it did not materialize. Every informal trader knows that. There are very few people who manage to benefit from that. And what we can appreciate as an organization is a situation where the government comes to us and says, look, guys, we had challenges in implementing this cushioning fund. And the challenges were 1, 2, 3, 4. How do we improve, you know, the situation going forward? To come and lie to say that people were receiving money, or to you know, to want to pretend that we are not coming forward to get those funds as informal traders, it's really unfortunate. No one can decide not to come where there is a helping hand being extended to them. It's unacceptable. It's something that no one can take. And I think these are the same tactics that we've been seeing over the years, where government, especially through local authorities, they try to hide behind their finger to say informal traders are not doing this. This is why we are not doing this. I think with COVID, there are no excuses. We don't have time for excuses. Let's just implement the program that we have put in place. This is the first point that I'm making. Then the second point is that, yes, we also need to do more as informal trader association to educate our members about the programs that the authorities are putting forward. But I think from our perspective as research, we have done that. As I'm speaking to you right now, I'm actually in Gweru. I'm not in Harare. I'm actually in Gweru, where we were engaging with the Gweru City Council on issues associated also to COVID and how we can ensure that, you know, we level the playing field and ensure that everyone who is supposed to benefit from the resources that we have at a local authority level, the resources that we have at a national level, you know, benefit through ensuring that they have information about those products that are coming from the government and all its agents.
Now, Mr. Wadzai, ngatimboze ayinyayine rimirwa maitichitarisa zviri kuitika kukwekwe uko. Tukona kuti kwekwe pari zvino iri pasi pechirongwa chelockdown. Tambotaurawo neumwe anoita mabasa emaoko. Vakati aiwa ivo sevanhu anoita mabasa emaoko vari kungoendera mberi neupenyu as though it's normal kunge kusina lockdown. Nokuti vazhinji vari kutsvaga mari and vakaongorora mitemo iripo yelockdown. It means you're most likely going to operate at a loss. Munozvionawo sei zviri kutaura nevanhu nekuti akasi kekutanga ndichinzwa munhu anoita basa remaoko vachi, you know, uttering masentiments akadaro.
Aiwa, isusu seboka chokutanga chatingataura mukoma ndechekuti zvirongwa zvinoitwa nehurumende kuburikidza nebazi rezveutano zvekudzivirira kupararira kwechirwere cheCovid tinozvitsigira nokuti COVID takaiona kuparadza kwayakaita upenyu, kuparadza kwayakaita even kuchinja mararamiro atinoita sevanhu yakachinja. And chirwere chokuti tose tinofanira kunge tichishandira pamwe chete tichionesana kuti togadzirisa sei, tochidzivirira sei. Asi isusu seboka tinenge tichisingabvumirani neurongwa hwekuti malockdown anongoiswa vanhu vasina kuparurirwa nyaya iyi. Handiti maitikiro akaita nyaya yokukwekwe hatina kufara nawo seboka. Ndofunga ndosaka muchiona kuti mamwe mamembers edu ari kukwekwe ikoko ari kuramba kuti haasi kuteerera lockdown iyoyo. Hakusi kuti nokuti havazive kuti COVID chirwere chinoparadza upenyu, but inyaya yekuti kana usina kuparurirwa kuti chirega kuenda kubasa nenhau yakadai 1, 2, 3, zvinoita senge urungokanganiswa raramo yako. Hona mona mai vangu, vazhinji vevanhu vari kurarama izvozvo muZimbabwe vari kurarama kuburikidza nokupinda mustreet nokutengesa zviviri zvitatu. Zvinokangogurwa kunzi chitoregera kuenda kunoshanda pasina reason ine udzamu yakakora somukaka yokuziva kuti ndoregerei kundoshanda unaita sengu wangu bishwa pabasa pako ni muna mbangu kanganisa raramu yako saka ipasare hurumende ipasare ma local authorities to make sure kuti ma members edu kana ma local authorities handitika anoparu zivo kuvanhu kuti zvatakuita lockdown tirikuitira 1 2 3 4 5 maitikiro akaita zvinhu zvokukwekwe nesu hatina kunge tichifara nazvo dotsidzwa kuti malockdown anotibatsira kuderedza kupararira kwechirwere but maitikiro akaita kukwekwe zvaita senge kumbunyikidza vanhu kumanikidza vanhu kuita senge pane imwe nyaya yanga isinei necovid yanga ichingasvika muine vagari
zvino tichipeta hedu hurukuro yedu vawadzai ndeapi mashoko amungada kukandira kune vanoita mabasa emaoko vari mukwekwe pari zvino vasiri kuremekedza mutemo welockdown nekuti vari kutsvaga raramo vari kutsvaga mari yekuti vakwanise kuendera mberi neupenyu
aiwa isusu tinoti seboka yadeuka tinozviziva kuti maitikirwo akaitwa nyaya iyi nehurumende hatiwirirani nawo sebvisechi but kana pane chokwadi chokuti chirwere chiri kupararira tinokurudzira mamembers edu kuti atevedzere zviringe zvaparurwa nelocal authority yekoko even kuburikidza neminister of health but hurumende tichikurudzira kuti ngaiuye itsanangurire vanhu kuti sei lockdown yaiswa pamwe pacho tinopedzisira tauda kungoblema macitizens kuti havasi kuteerera zvinotaurwa nemalocal authorities kana nehurumende but vanhu vasina information muri kunzwa mukoma ngandei kuvanhu ngativape information vanzwisise kuti kana takuti takuvhara guta tikuvharira guta nyaya dzakadai mbiri nhatu dzakadai so kana pasina kutsanangura ikoko munoona kuti kazhinji kacho vanhu vanoita senge vasingateereri but vanange vachida kutoteerera because hapana munhu asingazivi kuti covid yakauya ichiparadza upenyu ikachinja mararamiro atinoita.
All right. Well, Mr. Samuel Wadzai, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on our program today. We really appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, my brother. And I really appreciate for the opportunity. We need this space to see when we are here to be able to do this for more traders.
Of course. We appreciate it. So, Muriya Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Samuel Wadzai. He's the executive director of VZET. Now, whilst on the discussion of the COVID-19 lockdown and, of course, achieving herd immunity, the World Health Organization recently released an explainer of how people can prevent themselves from contracting COVID-19, even if you're living in an area whereby the COVID-19 has been detected and it is a hotspot. Let us take a look at that clip that we have, courtesy of the World Health Organization's Twitter page.
Three factors can help you make safe choices when you're in an area of widespread COVID-19 transmission. Consider the location, the proximity to others, and the amount of time you spend there. Where does your activity take place? Open air spaces are always safer than enclosed spaces, particularly if they're small or without fresh air. Proximity to other people is also important. It's safest when there are fewer people around and you can keep more than 1 meter apart. How long does your activity last? The shorter, the better. Think about each of these factors and avoid situations where the risk dial is high. Small or poorly ventilated places and crowds of people for long periods of time. Stay safe. Lower the risk to yourself and others.
Well, Zimbabwe muhle liyezwa abenhlanganiso ye-World Health Organization, but he stay safe, observe social distancing by all means necessary. Now, let's head over to my third and final guest before we head over to my interview with a recording artist, Pablo Cartel. Joining us live via telephone from Zimbabwe is Vusumuzi Mkwananzi. He is the founder of Mairana, a young entrepreneur who has done a lot of work to uplift different communities within Zimbabwe. Mr. Mkwananzi, welcome to the program, Chief. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Man, it's always great having you on the show. And each time we have you on the show, you've always done something new, something amazing, which is really awesome. Actually, show me before. Let's delve into it. Now, recently, in Mashonaland West, you are part of you as a young entrepreneur actually drilled a borehole to help one of the communities. Tell us more about that.
Thank you so much. I just also, you know, I like the discussion that you're having about COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we noticed is that people need access to clean water. So you notice at the moment right now, it's a very good opportunity for many entrepreneurs and many people to take part in helping people to access clean water, because the cost of drilling borehole has really come down significantly at the moment in the country. So we thought, okay, we could have more impact if we provided water,
mm-hmm.
and ensure that communities have access to clean water. It means that people can do gardening, they can do planting of trees and many different things.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little more about that part. I guess the initiatives that you're doing, which target uplifting these different communities, why go through all that? Why not just be what a lot of entrepreneurs are, come into the space, create a demand for a service and get your money and leave? Why be in a space whereby you have to uplift the community?
Thank you. As a starting point, I think I am where I am because some people took a chance, and they also, like, I grew up having people pay for my fees. Even where I stay right now, myself, we treat a board, we put a tip outside so communities have access to water from our place. I believe as an entrepreneur, you can't just be about profit. I'm also inspired by people like Steve Mastio. If you really follow him, he does say even when he had a small company,
mm-hmm.
you start moving on to the culture of helping people. I don't believe that we should be a business just merely for profit only. I think that we should have an impact in the community. So that's why we do some of the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little more about what your organization has managed to do for these people. If we look at a lot of cities across the whole of Zimbabwe, the challenge of water is a big, big issue across all cities. And so you being able to provide that for people of Mashonaland West, that's a big thing. Aside from this borehole that you've now drilled and dug, what more are you looking to do for these people of Mashonaland West?
Well, we're not building a company just for Zimbabwe alone. We're building a company for Africa and the region. I think one of the things that you want to respond to need is action. I think I like the word of Nelson Mandela where he says, action without vision is only passing time, or vision without action is merely daydreaming, but vision with action can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think sometimes as leaders, you know, at different spheres, there are a lot of things that we can do that really can impact and they don't really cost that much. It's a sacrifice that we do really have to come into play. Right now, there are a lot of children who are not going to school. People don't have access to jobs. But just taking one action can completely create a whole lot of value chain. It can really change communities. So for me, I think that's one of the most important things that as entrepreneurs we should focus on. Especially right now, water is one of the things that we could take advantage of. Education is also one of the things that we should also be having a look at as entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one child that you can help, that's just that one community that you can at least start somewhere and keep on pushing.
All right. Well, unfortunately, time has run out. Mr. Mkwananzi, we really appreciate the work that you're doing in your different communities. I found it really important to bring you here to spotlight the work that young people such as yourselves are doing. But thank you so much, and God bless you for this amazing work that you're doing in your separate communities.
Thank you so much for having us. We didn't really expect it, but we really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, Zimbabwe, Muhle Muriye Zimbabwe, you heard there from Vusumuzi Mkwananzi. He's the founder of My Arana. Check them out on Facebook. They're also on Twitter and Instagram. If you're looking to find out more information on the organization. And of course, if you're looking to get in touch with Vusumuzi Mkwananzi. Now, as we wrap up tonight's show, Muriye Zimbabwe, I'd like to highlight some Zimbabwean talent. Tonight on The Connection, we're joined by recording artist Pablo Cartel. We speak about his latest single titled Ngifuna Wena. Enjoy. Hey, unganji yastandwa uyazi ngiyavangala lungekho sanwa sami.
Ngifuna Wena is a different approach that I took. I've been listening to a lot of amapiano, so this time I try to use that into my own work. So I try to look for a topic that has been trending a lot, and it's, like I said the last time, I want to be a social commentator, you know. So I heard a story, actually I saw it in the newspaper, about a guy from Mashingo who killed himself over a partner that had cheated. So I tried to apply that to my own scenario, that if somebody cheated on me or somebody cheated on someone who is in my community, what they have done. So it's more of, It's along those lines, and I wanted to make it a little bit approachable to the older people and also to my generation, my friends and my classmates and everyone who's around me.
I'm a big fan of learning culture, learning languages, because it shows diversity, it shows interest in wanting to learn more about other people, which is something you did with the song, Funa Wena. You actually going out there and learning Ndebele, I found that really amazing, and I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that. What motivated that?
The name Cartel comes from being an advocate for unity. So, you know, it's not a feud as such, but there's that bit of some tension between the Ndebele and the Shona people. And I wanted to bring both cultures in one song, such that people in Lawayo can listen to my song and they can appreciate that I appreciate them. People in Harare can also listen to my song. So I learned Ndebele for 2 weeks. A schoolmate of mine named Ola Stabile Matanda taught me Ndebele for 2 weeks, and I had to like learn the pronunciation, learn the words, and also translating the meaning of the song to English from Ndebele, like Ngifuna Wena, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
It also took me a bit of some time, and making the beat as well, I wanted a beat that would actually speak to the Ndebele people, because in Blawayo it's the house, the amapiano and everything. So it was actually a hard song for me, but it was very special because I managed to bring two cultures together.
How are people receiving the song? You mentioned the importance of relevance to both generations. You talked about the importance of unifying the culture. How are people receiving this?
Well, people in my community, it has been really hard for them to accept me doing music, because you know how the arts industry and the music industry is associated with indiscipline or all that. So a person hearing that I am 18 and I'm doing music would associate me with other things. So I've really been trying to like not portray a character that I don't have. It's actually the character that I have. But I've actually been trying to correct that. I've been moving around in my neighborhood with CDs. I've been knocking, hey, can you please listen to my song? Hey, can you please listen to my song and all that. For the community and, excuse me, my friends and everyone surrounding me and people on my social media, they've really been like, being wowed by what I'm doing, considering my age and everything.
So you've put out Funa Wena. What's next for you? Are you going to be putting out visuals soon or what's next?
Well, I've been working really hard with my music. I've been working really, really hard, man. I am releasing the Ngifuna Wena official video very soon, like the video. And then, God willing, I'm releasing my first project this year. 5 of the tracks are produced by Conaboy, Chinese-based Zimbabwean producer. So I have a project that is coming with about 8-7 tracks. And then I have this video that I've been working on.
For those that are looking to listen to the song and, of course, watch your other projects, where can they find that info?
You can find me on YouTube. It's Pablo Cartel TV. You can also find me on Instagram. It's official pablocartel.zw. And you can WhatsApp me on 0774-101378. 0774-101378. Ungangichiya sithandwa, angikho nisiklala ngedwa, ngifuna wena chivara izokandiramba shu.